Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. All of Psalm 112. Lord, thank you for the gift of this new year. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and being able to serve you in this new year. And thank you for the opportunity for us to be a part of your family and ambassadors for your kingdom to represent you each and every day. Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, who is love, and empower us to demonstrate your love through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do, the life we live day by day. Help us to represent you well everywhere we go. Show us your glory in this regard. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Mark Ose. Mark is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Dear Lord God, thank you so very, very much for allowing us to see the beginning of another year. And God, thank you for the many, many blessings we anticipate will be included in this year. Lord God, thank you for the platform that you have given all of us here at AFR and those who have chosen to partner with us at AFR as we seek to share your truth and your values, to reestablish your values throughout our country. And we pray that we would make some further progress in those efforts this year. God, let us also continue to be ready and help others to become ready for your second coming, for Jesus' second coming, as we know that could be very, very soon as the signs of the times are all around us. God, we just pray that you would help us to be better, more faithful servants as we seek to serve you in this new year. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. And as we begin a new year by the grace of God, I wanted to share with you some articles, as we often do. Our ongoing encouragement is that you'll email us to get copies of them so that you can use them in your personal walk with the Lord as a tool for discipling your family, but also tools to forward by way of email to family members, fellow church members, persons that you know and interact with, saved or unsaved individuals as well, seeds that you can plant in the lives of other people to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. This first article is simply entitled, "The Bible, Not a Souvenir." Again, that title, "The Bible, Not a Souvenir." The big family Bible on the coffee table or the one on the shelf in your living room is a beautiful sight. However, what is its purpose? It's been said that a raggedy Bible is a sign of a life that is not raggedy. Is this true? Not always, but often it is. Wear and tear comes with use. Non-use may help you keep a Bible in good condition for a long time, but keeping it in good condition and failing to read, meditate, and listen to God through His Word is a tragic mistake. The Bible was never meant to be simply a souvenir. It was never intended to be just a prize to be encased and admired only for its physical appearance as a book. We're supposed to put the Bible, God's written word, to good use. We should read and meditate on it every day. Years ago, while working in a public school setting, I was conversing with an elementary student. We were talking about reading the Bible. I asked him, "Do you read your Bible every day?" He responded, "My mama won't let me touch that Bible." That conversation took place many, many years ago, yet it remains with me. The life-giving word of God that is not supposed to be touched by a child? How sad. How tragically sad. Parents, buy each of your children their own Bible and teach and encourage them to read it every single day. A good goal to aim for is to read at least 3 chapters from the Bible every single day. Having each child read 3 chapters a day aloud to you is a very wise and a blessed habit to have in your home within your own family. Typically, it's not too hard for any person, adult or child, that can read to simply make it a goal to read daily. Reading the Word of God daily is one of the most fruitful habits in all of life. If your children wear out the Bible because they read and use them so much, wonderful. When those wear out, get them new ones. This may be one of the most fruitful investments of your life and in your children's lives. So if the big family Bible on the coffee table is a souvenir, make sure everyone, every child and every adult, has their own personal copy to read daily. Don't have a Bible that's off limits and it's the only one in the house. Some people store important documents in the big family Bible, but that's not what the Bible was made for. It wasn't made to be a file cabinet. My suggestion is get a file cabinet or a brief of some sort to put your files in. Using it to keep track of old records can potentially send the wrong message to your children about what a Bible is for. Where is a good place to begin faithful reading of God's Word? That's a good question. I advise you to begin in Matthew and read straight through the New Testament. Make sure you read the Word of God every day. The following are 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word daily. Number one, it tells you how to be saved and how to grow in your faith. Number two, it gives you clear guidance for life. Number three, reading the Word daily empowers your prayer life. Fourth, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. Number five, reading the Word daily ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Six, it helps you maintain your mental health. Number seven, it increases God's anointing on every area of your life. Number eight, reading the Word daily increases your wisdom in every area of life. Number nine, it enhances your intellect and your personality. And a tenth reason to read God's Word daily is because it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. Today is a good day to meet the one who is the author of the Word of God and is the answer to all of life's questions and issues. Today is a good day to ask Christ to come into your heart and live inside you. If you'd like to make that step in your life, would you take a moment to pray this prayer of committing your heart and life to the Lord with me even now? Would you pray this prayer with us? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I now repent of all the wrongs I've done. Forgive me for the wrongs I've done. I believe you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. And I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me the person you want me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. Please email us at my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Second article we'd like to share is entitled, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. Again, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, pray without ceasing. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, it tells us, as for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. And then James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. Again, James chapter 4, verse 2. Prayer is talking with and listening to God. Prayer is seeking God. Prayer is worshiping and praising God. Prayer is giving thanks to God. Prayer is all of these activities and much more. We need to broaden and expand our definition and understanding of prayer and what it truly is. It can be said that prayer is our intimate walk with God. No one prayed more than the Lord Jesus did. His whole life was a prayer. We are called to imitate Christ. So like Christ, we should strive to live so that our whole life is a prayer, our intimate walk with God. Prayer is to be a major priority for the church. Individually and collectively, we're to live lives given to prayer. The church itself is called to be a house of prayer. How tragic it is when we fall short in our calling and obligation to pray and to live a life and lifestyle of prayer. When we don't pray as we should, we miss blessings that God very much wanted us to have. Did you or I miss out on more blessings today because we did not pray for certain things? Again, James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, you do not have because you do not ask. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it tells us, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez received some unique blessings from the Lord. He made four requests from the Lord, and God gave him all four requests. Why? Jabez was wise enough to ask for them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 tell us, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Sometimes help or deliverance may not come because the people of God were not praying as they ought to have been praying. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 tells us, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Again, Ezekiel 22, verse 30. In Ezekiel, we see that God was looking for intercessors who would pray for the land so that judgment might be avoided. But he didn't find a single prayer warrior who was praying for Israel. So judgment came upon the nation. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. Again, the title of that article we're sharing from is The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession.
Come on. Sent down from glory. sent down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth are called.
Awesome ruler,
awesome ruler,
gentle redeemer,
gentle redeemer,
God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you
are an awesome ruler.
The music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Sharing from an article entitled The Tragedy of Prayerlessness and picking up once again with a portion of that article. Sometimes help or deliverance may not come because the people of God were not praying as they ought to have been praying. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 tells us, "And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." In Ezekiel, we see that God was looking for intercessors who would pray for the land so that judgment might be avoided, but he didn't find a single prayer warrior who was praying for Israel. So judgment came upon the nation. Also, prayerlessness by the people of God can result in followers of Christ becoming spiritually dull. In other words, when the people of God neglect praying, we're not as spiritually alert as we should be. And we're not as sensitive to the voice and the actions of the Holy Spirit as we should be. Finally, when the people of God don't pray as we should, we can miss what God is saying or doing in a given season or situation. Whereas, on the other hand, living a prayer-filled life can help followers of the Lord to be very sensitive and alert to God and the things of God and the Holy Spirit of God as he speaks. In Matthew chapter 2, we see that wise men came from the east looking for the king of the Jews. It's apparent that the wise men knew God, listened to God, and were very sensitive to him. The wise men saw the star and knew what it meant. Apparently, they were men of prayer, and the Spirit of God had let them know a number of important truths that many other persons of that time didn't know or didn't pick up on. They saw the star as probably anyone else during that time could. Yet because they were close to God and listening to him, they knew what the star meant. They knew that it was pointing them to the King of the Jews and the King of the universe. So again, it was an indication that they were people of prayer. Sadly, people who they talked to and interacted with in Jerusalem could see the star too. Yet the scripture does not say that a single person followed them to go and find the Messiah. How tragic it is that it seems so many in Israel were spiritually insensitive to what God was doing at that time. Now, Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2, who were people of prayer, they didn't miss their Messiah. They both saw and recognized him and were excited to see him. Why? Again, a prayer-filled life helps you to hear the Holy Spirit's voice much more clearly and sense him at work, more so than if we didn't live a prayer-filled life. Israel had been looking for their Messiah for centuries, yet sadly, many in Israel missed him when he came. Prayerlessness can cause each of us to miss out on so much in life. Please don't allow prayerlessness to define your life and your prayer life. Again, the title of that article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. Again, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. And then the final article we want to share is entitled, Have You Taken Your Medicine Today? Again, have you taken your medicine today? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22 tell us, My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. Again, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. Then Psalm 107, verse 20 tells us, He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Again, Psalm 107, verse 20. And then Psalm 103, verse 3, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Again, Psalm 103, verse 3. The Word of God is medicine that literally ministers to every part of your being all at one time. Healing power permeates the Word of God. Another word for the healing power of God is the anointing, the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is full of healing power. So we're wise to take large doses of the Word of God every single day. How do we do that? Spend time reading and meditating on it every day. A wise goal for a believer to pursue in reading the Word of God is to read no less than 3 chapters every single day. If you decide that that's not enough for you and you want to take a larger dose of His medicine, the Word of God, great. You cannot overdose on the Word of God. It'll just bless you more and more. And the more you take, the more you'll be blessed. Nothing will bless your life more and bring more healing, blessing, and encouragement to your life than the Word of God. Now, someone might choose to ask this important question. How can the Word of God, the written Word of God, do all of this? Great question, yet not a hard one. The Word of God can do all of this because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the Word of God can do anything that the Lord Jesus can do because they're one in the same. In other words, the Word of God and Jesus are one. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 tell us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1, verses 1 to 5. John chapter 1, verse 14 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, John chapter 1, verse 14. So what is the cure for all the ills of life? The powerful Word of God. Please be mindful that a first step toward becoming healed and whole in life is inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. So be sure that you make that very important step and fully commit your life to the Lord. And starting the habit of reading 3 chapters a day is a great habit to start in the brand new year. 3 chapters a day will bless your life a lot. Again, the title of that article, Have You Taken Your Medicine Today? If you'd like to get a copy of one or all of the articles, again, the titles were, again, the first article, The Bible, Not a Souvenir. The second article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness, and the third article title, Have You Taken Your Medicine Today? We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Verses 1 through 12, Proverbs chapter 3. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back. Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, For he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, They have no wine. Jesus said to her, Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, and his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, Zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, What sign do you show to us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to him, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Verses 1 to 22, John chapter 2. Father, thank you, Lord, for we who make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for us, Lord, as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do, before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step in your life, would you from your heart pray this prayer right now and fully commit your heart and life to the Lord and be saved. Would you pray with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to follow you every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow. Grow strong and deep in your new walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of one or more of the articles that we shared earlier, again, the articles were entitled, the first one, The Bible, Not a Souvenir. The second article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. The third article, Have You Taken Your Medicine Today? One or all of them, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession, and have a blessed and a happy new year.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.